Let's do it. Let's do it. Take a mania for this week. The worst takes of the week try to take down the reigning defending champion. And Hayden Winks of Underdog, with a little bit of an assist from the broadcast schedule during training camp, preventing us from having at least a couple of take a manias, has managed to hold on to this thing since the middle of July, at least, I would say, probably early July. And he did it courtesy of this take on the DeAndre Hopkins trade.
You probably think that the Texans lost that David Johnson for DeAndre Hopkins trade, but guess what? You turned out to be wrong.
Wrong!
In addition to getting David Johnson, the Texans also received a 2020 second round pick and a 2021 fourth rounder. That second round pick, well, immediately wasted, nose tackle, nobody cares. But that 2021 fourth rounder turned out to be awesome down the line. The Texans called the Panthers the next draft, offered that fourth round pick and some other draft capital to move all the way up to 89th overall. They really had nobody at wide receiver, so they took developmental ex-wide receiver Nico Collins. Definitely took out some time, but Nico Collins is now a bona fide superstar and a 12th overall pick over on Underdog Fantasy.
How do you like them, Max?
More importantly, the Texans have CJ Stroud and Nico Collins under contract through at least the 2027 season. They've already won two playoff games together. In those games, Nico Collins, 96 yards in a tutty, 122 yards in a tutty. Not bad for just a throw-in.
Okay. Seth gets angrier and angrier every week that we play this thing.
You might have thought Lorena Bobbitt made a mistake in cutting off her husband's penis, but then what if I told you that later on? He's trying too hard. We've been over this over and over again. Horrible take, yes.
Horrible take, yeah. Well, that's the nature of the segment. He's the champ right now. All right, so we don't need to adjudicate that one again. All right, Seth, so let's see if any of these take down Hayden Winks.
Yeah.
This is Mike Tannenbaum. We played this one yesterday. This is Mike Tannenbaum giving his prediction. I feel like you're mad at me for playing that clip right now.
You know what bothers me? That Hayden Winks is a really bright guy. I'm more annoyed that I think somebody gave him that to read. I think somebody forced him into it.
Yep.
But he did it. He's an adult.
He did it. It wasn't me that made him read it, just to be clear. Yeah. Mike Tannenbaum on ESPN saying that he thinks the Titans are going to win the AFC South.
Really on a hot streak, you know, with some of your takes. And I'm told that you have another bold one.
Cam Ward, the first pick overall, Molly, is going to lead the Tennessee Titans to the AFC South Division champion. And he will
lost your damn mind. This year?
Right now.
You're insane.
Are you kidding?
That's ridiculous. Well,
look at his track record. He started off at a Cardigan Word. He went to Washington
State. I'm not saying what he's not going to eventually do. You're saying year one.
Who's better in that division?
CJ Stroud?
He's also going to be the best quarterback. I love C.J. Stroud, but when you have five new offensive linemen, Mr. Woody, you will attest to that. That doesn't happen overnight, and he was sacked 52 times a year ago.
You brought that up, Stephen A.
So Cam Ward is going to have great protection. They signed Dan Moore from Pittsburgh.
I got reservations about Houston's offensive line. I got reservations about everything in Tennessee. What are you talking about?
They got two veteran receivers in Tyler Lockett and Calvin Ridley.
Oh, my Lord.
They got a good running back in Tony Pollard.
Cam Ward can play. I like him. But I'm just saying, year one?
And they have a great offensive line. Look what a great offensive line has done for some of these young quarterbacks. Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, amongst others. My point is, I think Tennessee, Cam Ward is the most unheralded first pick overall.
Because he doesn't talk. Not because we haven't seen him play. We've seen him perform collegiately. We know he was worthy of being the number one overall pick. He just doesn't say much. He's one of the quietest number one overall picks we've ever seen.
And most
we got
talented,
that part.
And talented.
He can ball. Anybody saying he can't ball?
So you want to take Daniel Jones over him?
Of course not.
Okay.
I said C.J. Stroud. That's what I said.
Yeah, I understand that. But look, when you look at Houston, it is a fatal flaw. When you can't protect a great quarterback, I'd rather take Cam Ward and that offensive line than C.J. Stroud and that offensive
line. Woody, you're awfully quiet.
Listen, it's not the worst take that I've heard from Mike T. I will tell you, it's not the worst
take.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, that's not the worst take I've heard from Mike T.
From Mike Tannenbaum.
It's like, not the worst venereal disease I've gotten in my life, but it was still pretty bad. Yeah. This is the problem. If you pick the Titans because you like Cam Ward and because they bolstered their offensive line, fine. You can't start off by saying who else they got in that division. And now, to his credit, he had a response. which was, okay, but the offensive line, well, CJ's struggling behind this offensive line. The Titans' offensive line, as bad as the Texans' offensive line was last year, was arguably worse than the Texans' offensive line last year. And they made some improvements, but your argument for the improvements in the Titans, and while they'll win the division and why Cam Ward's going to be a better quarterback than CJ Stroud, can't be that they have two generic veteran receivers. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Tyler Lockett, because he didn't choose to retire like he probably should have. Yeah. All right, fine. And then he called it a great offensive line. He didn't just call it an improved offensive line. He said that Titans offensive line is a great offensive line after being one of the worst offensive line of the last couple of years.
He also basically said you can't win the division if you can't protect your quarterback. And as a texter points out, but we did win the division.
The Texans won the division, exactly.
CJ.
Yeah, you know what? You know what? This one, the more times I hear it, it's the number of times he was wrong within it.
Yeah.
And, he's the new champion.
He's the new champ. Hayden Winks, you're going down. All right. Mike Tannenbaum. All right. Well, Tannenbaum's got a gauntlet he's still got to get through in this segment right here, Seth.
Right, yeah. He might not be. If you don't win it at the end of the day, then you don't get into the postseason tournament.
Okay, so there you go.
If you had brought up Van Jefferson as one of the veteran receivers, that would have been the
slam dunk. That would have been beautiful. All right, okay, so next one here. This is Isaiah Thomas on Draymond Green's podcast. So he's a guest on the podcast, Isaiah Thomas is, and he gives the opinion that Kevin Durant saved the Warriors dynasty, because otherwise you, Draymond, and Steph and Klay would have been known as the team that blew the 3-1 lead to LeBron James. All you would have been known for is blowing a 3-1 lead.
Let me make a bold statement here.
Yes, sir.
And I hope this don't upset you, but I'm giving y'all a compliment. Before Kevin Durant arrived in Golden State, y'all were on the verge of and being remembered as the team that went 73-9 and lost to a Cleveland Cavalier team in the finals, 3-1. You up 3-1, and probably one of the biggest collapse in NBA finals history from a 73-9 historical team. Kevin Durant comes that summer and really saves y'all basketball legacy. And you win two championships after that. And now you're the Golden State Warriors dynasty that you're going to go into the Hall of Fame on and everything else. It is cemented, because if Durant don't come that summer and you guys are remembered as the 73-9 team that lost 3-1 in the NBA Finals, all of your legacies are different.
He's assuming that they don't win another championship after
that. Yeah, I think that you're assuming that, and that they would be remembered mostly by losing to the Cavaliers in that Finals, and that's how history would remember them, is that they blew that lead in the Finals, and they wouldn't have remembered the champ. Now, it's clear, for one, it's easy to say your legacy would have been different, obviously, if you didn't win that championship or whatever. But that's different than acting like he was painting it almost like they'd be known as history's losers or history's bums for blowing that finals.
Well, he's saying that Kevin Durant was the only reason they won those next two,
Yeah. And if he hadn't done that, they had no chance of winning anything.
And I would say he's ignoring the fact that they won another one without Kevin Durant. In 2022, Draymond, Klay, and Steph, they actually won another championship without Kevin Durant. I would also say, too, Seth, it felt like Golden State caught more heat for taking the easy way, and actually, their legacy in some ways gets damaged because they took the easy way of bringing in Durant as opposed to trying to tough it out with the guys they already had.
It's a bad take, but it just doesn't hit home the way Tannenbaum's does. I think, honestly, on the surface of it, it's actually a much worse take than Tannenbaum's take. Sorry, I was mixing up my bad former GMs. It doesn't move me emotionally.
Okay, that's important.
Yeah.
Okay. This next one is Chad Ochocinco and Shannon Sharp on their podcast, bewildered that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers cut Desmond Watson. Seth, I know you know who Desmond Watson is, the big 450-pound player out of Florida.
He's this year's version of every few years a 400-pounder comes along. And people, it's almost like the people who dream of a fat hockey goalie. Mm-hmm. They think like, hey, you got to get in the way of stuff and you're big.
Yeah.
He should be awesome.
Yes.
And it's frankly, it's an insult
to
defensive linemen.
It should offend
sometimes,
you.
Sometimes, yeah, the overweight, the heavy run-stuffing defensive linemen, I think sometimes people think like, oh, all you got to do is be big. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's... A lot of social media clips of Desmond Watson having to walk or run laps because they were trying to get him in shape. You know, trying to get him.
And they basically gave him training camp off just to lose weight.
Just to lose weight. I mean, he's undrafted.
He didn't do it.
It's not like they drafted him in the second round or something. He was undrafted. He was a project. Ochocinco and Shannon Sharp are going in on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for their handling of Desmond Watson.
The Buccaneers waived Desmond Watson, the former Gator rookie listed at 449 pounds with the Bucs. Are the Bucs giving up with Big Dez? Too soon, Ocho.
I would like for him to allow him to play and see how he plays at the size he's at now. He played at that size at Florida, so I understand what you guys are trying to do for safety reasons, but it's how he played at Florida. So why draft him if you're not going to allow him to play the game of football? Why not let him finish out his childhood dream? Why even put him through the ringer like that?
He's 6'5".
Yeah. Big boy.
He's only going to get so small through diet and exercise. Mm-hmm. He's 6'5"? Yeah. You're not going to get him to 350. Because if you get him to 350, he can't play football. Because you take it all his strength away.
Hold on. If he's... How much Vita Vea weigh, huh?
Vita Vea probably 350.
So, he's 365. Desmond Watson, what, 365?
450.
Oh,
okay, so Chad Ochocinco didn't even know how much he weighed.
No, I give Ochocinco a pass a little bit just because I think he's this is one of those things where, which is cool on a podcast especially. He didn't know the whole story.
No,
you know, so he's kind of.
No, this feels like something some producer
at the end kind of been like, wait, 450. So
that's what he was at the end.
And yet,
oblique.
For the purposes, I give Chad Ochocinco a pass in life, but as far as for the purposes of Takeomania, I think Ochocinco, if we had listened to the rest of that, it sounds like he was about to reverse his opinion on
maybe,
it.
Yeah.
But Shannon Sharp, who himself is what, 6'6"?
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. What the hell is he talking about?
You can't get down to 350.
He's 6'5". You can't expect somebody who's 6'5" to get down to 350.
How tall?
The vast majority of guys who are 6'5" in the NFL weigh 330 pounds or less. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, dude. Dude, you watch the NBA? There's guys 6'5", 200.
It's like if he had said he's 7 foot, you can't expect him to get down below his body type. No, he's 6'5".
Right.
Yes, Shannon. There are a load of 6'5" defensive linemen who weigh well under 350.
Okay. So, does it win?
No. I have to add on to why it's going to win.
Okay.
Ochocinco doesn't get a pass for acting like he has a chance to live out his dreams. Yeah, as opposed to every other damn guy out there who manages to stay at the weight that the people want him to be at.
And you know,
wait, what is this? A fan?
Not make a wish.
How could they deny this man a chance to live out his dreams?
Desmond Watson.
Why could they not cut somebody else who was trying to live out his dreams to let this fatty live out his
the
dreams?
The world's fattest make-a-wish kid. Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is the winner.
Okay, yeah, let's
go. He's 6'5", Sean.
Yeah, 6'5". How tall are you?
I'm 6'4".
6'4".
Why I can stay below 350
right,
pounds.
Right. What were you at your heaviest?
If I were 6'5", it would be... No, my heaviest, I was 340 at my
okay,
heaviest.
Okay, yeah, even like you're an inch. And
somehow I made it.
I made it
down from 340. I know.
I can't believe it. All right. Here's Cam Newton on what Jalen Hurts... This is Cam Newton on ESPN yesterday, I believe. On what Jalen Hurts has to prove as an NFL quarterback.
Respectfully, I have to remind you that Nick Foles also won a Super Bowl.
Okay.
So if you're asking me, with everybody paying attention, Jalen Hurts has so much to prove on this metrics because now I go from good to great to elite.
Okay. Right?
Now, his circumstances are what his circumstances are. Devontae Smith, you have A.J. Brown, you have Saquon, and the whole slew of talent. He cannot do anything about that, Stephen A.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, as he proves his whole situation for who he needs to be and who he has to become, is consistently winning and consistently doing what he is asked to do.
Okay, this take made no sense. And I know Cam has gone after Jalen Hurts, saying he's not a top 10 quarterback, this and that.
Yeah.
I don't understand what he was saying in the last 15 seconds there. What he has to do and he has to become is what he has to this, and he has to consistently win. He's consistently won.
Right. Yeah, that is the whole
– it's not a
one-off, one-year magical experience or what have you. He has consistently won. I guess I see where he's going with it. It's like, okay, you have to – he's already done enough to prove that Nick Foles isn't a fair comparison.
Right.
I don't think. Because it's not just a one-off Super Bowl.
No.
I see where he's going with that, though.
Okay.
And what was the environment? Where were they?
They were at whatever school Michael Vick is coaching at. I think he's coaching at an HBCU. They were there doing First Take Live at that school.
They were doing it that. Yeah, like, yeah. Okay. I got you.
Yeah.
I always kind of give people the benefit of the doubt a little bit when it's a non-traditional environment.
Yeah.
Pep rallies especially.
Yeah.
It's really hard. If you're at a pep rally, it's going to be really hard to win Take-A-Mania because you're just, you know, sometimes you're saying crazy stuff just to get everybody going.
I got
to
send you the video. When he started in on Jalen Hurts, they flashed in on this one fan who had on an Eagles jersey.
Yeah.
And this guy was yelling from the crowd at Cam Newton, like Cam was talking about his kid or something, like about the Eagles fans' kid. I'll send you the video. It's a hilarious visual.
I wonder with Cam too, though. There's probably a little bit of, you know, sometimes you almost go over the top and trying to be objective in a lot of ways because Cam was, especially for back then, he was a different type of quarterback than people wanted to acknowledge was good. Cam almost feels like, oh yeah, people expect me to stick up for Jalen Hurts, et cetera, et cetera. Or he might see where he was better than Jalen Hurts in some regards, either as a passer or what have you. It feels like he's trying a little too hard to either be objective or whatever it might be.
All right.
Doesn't overtake the impossibility of weighing less than 350 pounds as a 6'5" person.
I tell you what, I didn't know that one. I'm like, I think this is a really bad take. I don't know if it can win. But in hashing this out with you, it is a very, very bad take by Shannon Sharpe.
Ocho Cinco, even though Chad Johnson didn't, it was clear that he didn't really know the whole story, which is fine.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guest on his podcast and everything all the time. I know he's regularly on there.
Right,
But it was when Chad Johnson acted like the Bucks owed it to this kid to let him live out his dreams.
Yes.
Despite him having failed to do what the Bucks asked him to do, which was lose weight, that they still need to let him live out his dreams. And then Shannon Sharpe acting like the being 6'5", it makes it really, really hard to get down to 350.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, folks. Norfolk State is where Michael Vick is coaching right now. Thank you, texters. All right. So we've got. Oh, did we play the kicking out? Did we play it, Ben? I'm sorry if we did. It's yeah. So there you go. Ocho and Shannon Sharpe, they kick out. They are the new champions, the new reigning and defending Take-A-Mania champions. Can they get taken down next Friday? We shall see. There's a lot of stupid people in this world that say a lot of dumb things. We've got 7 days.
I want to just be sure, because Shannon Sharpe wasn't a tall tight end. Yeah, he's only 6'2". That's why he doesn't understand.
Okay.
He realizes that if he had been 3 inches taller, he clearly would have been the league's first 390-pound tight end. Yes.
He feels taller than 6'2".
Luckily for a tight end, he was 6'2".
That's right.
He was saved from that fate, unlike that fat bastard Gronkowski.
Oh, yeah. Hey, our first college football watch party is this Saturday at Boomer Jack's. Our Flight by Yingling college football watch party, 1110 Grand West Boulevard in Katy. Join us out there. The doors open at 10:30 a.m. They told me that when I was there last Friday. I said, what time the doors open for the UT and Ohio State game? They said, we're opening early, 10:30 a.m. for that game. So come get your seat. Have some ice-cold Flight by Yingling. Eat some food. Root for your favorite team. They'll have all the games going there. They'll have some great prizes as well from Yingling to give away. We'll see you out there on Saturday.